It's time for Marriage Beyond the Vows on Praise.
And a very good morning to you. Welcome to today's edition of Marriage Beyond the Vows here on Praise Your Inspiration Station. We're going to have an awesome discussion today, as we always do. We're certainly glad you decided to stop by here, because we know you could have been anywhere on your radio dial. So today we're going to be talking about fighting fair. Oh boy, is it possible to fight fair? I want to know. Marcos is going to tell you, I'm sure. So make sure you give us a call and talk about whether or not you guys are able to fight fair in your marriage. 855-454-5905. I'm your co-host, Tiffany Bacon. Here's your host with the most, Mr. Marcos Mercado. Good morning, Marcos. How are you?
Good morning, Tiffany, and good morning to all, of course, here in Philadelphia or in Charlotte or throughout the world. And as Tiffany mentioned, we are talking about fighting fair. So no low blows, and listen to the ref. And no, I am not the ref. I'm talking about the ref that you hear about or you read about in the Word of God, Jesus himself. Mm-hmm. And so as always, we want to begin with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father and God, we are so grateful for your love, for your mercy, for your direction, God. Help us to embrace your word, Father. Embrace your direction, Father. We love you. We pray that today's show will be a blessing to so many. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
And as always, we hope and pray that today's program would enrich, empower, and encourage you towards having a great relationship. And we will go straight to our theme scripture, which is 1 Corinthians 13. I know we love this scripture, except that because we're talking about fighting fair, we're going to even get a little bit into how you can use this scripture unfairly. And no one likes that, right? Mm-hmm. So let's just start there. 1 Corinthians 13, we'll go down to verse 4, where it says, love is patient, love is kind, it does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud, it does not dishonor others, it is not self-seeking, it is not easily angered, it keeps no records of wrong. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. Now, if you're anything like me, I love this passage, except I hate when it's used against me. Like, look, you're falling short. And this scripture is not designed or meant, or I believe even when Paul, the Apostle Paul, inspired by the Holy Spirit, wrote these words, the intention was not, okay, let's see how I can give you some ammunition so you can use against your spouse. That is not at all the intent here. So it's for us to grow and learn, okay, where do we fall short? Where do we need to change and repent to be a better spouse? And really just love in general, because we all know from 1 John 4 verse 8 that God is love. So we're trying to be more like Christ. And that is important in a marriage. I guess nowhere else, Tiffany, than in a relationship, more than anywhere else, is you are exposed. You get to see your shortcomings, you get to see your sin, you get to see your selfishness, the areas you fall short. So the first one, for some reason, God in his infinite wisdom decided to describe love. And the first thing he said is it's patient. And I know for me, that is the number one challenge. So every time I read the scripture, I'm like, why? Jesus, why does this say I got to be patient? And, you know, I'm the type that I'm like, God, just give me patience. Just give it to me right now. You know, I want it now.
Impatient about being given patience.
But the reality is, you know, it's not meant for me to look. And I've done this before. I've taken passages like this one and I've tried to implement them, but not so much on me. I do that now. But there were times where, you know, my wife and I are not seeing eye to eye. We're having a disagreement, an argument, a fight, however you want to call it.
Right.
Thank God, not a physical one, but still, you know, a fight where we're not seeing eye to eye.
Right.
We're struggling with each other. And my temptation has been to, well, you know, woman, you got to go to the scriptures. You got to submit. You got to do this. Now, of course, maybe not in those same words, but that's been my heart. And I'm confessing and I'm being real and I'm being honest. I believe my wife and I have a great relationship. But it's like every relationship. We have our issues. We've struggled. And the great thing is we repent. We talk these things out. We pray about them. We got people in our lives. You know, we fight hard to realize that it's not a fight against each other. And so we want to hear from you. And we want to hear a little bit of what goes on that is unfair. Maybe things you've done or that your spouse has done towards you that have been unfair. That you're like, no, this isn't right. Why are you using this? And one of those things is bringing the past.
Right.
If you're having a disagreement right now, and let me just pick something. You know, you forgot to, you left something out in the kitchen, you know, the milk, and got spoiled or whatever. Don't come back and say, okay, well, here's the issue with what happened now, and I'm going to bring back every issue since the beginning that you have done and you've fallen short, because then it becomes about something totally different. Mm-hmm. But that's the temptation, right? We say things, absolute words like always or never, like you always do this. Probably not true. You don't always do this. That means that if one time you did it right, then you can't say always. Mm-hmm. Or you never do this. You never say that. You never change. And it's like, that's kind of absolute. Those are fighting words. And to me, they don't work if you get a fight fair.
So let me ask, as someone who in previous relationships was definitely doing that right there, because if you're going to fuss at me about something, I usually had three or four things to say.
Some ammunition.
Had some ammunition. A lot of it had to do with unresolved frustration. If, say, for example, you're talking about the toilet paper. Okay, honey, I asked you to get the toilet paper. Can you please put it in the bathroom so when I have to go to the bathroom, I'm not stuck without? And it's consistent. Every time it's asked, it doesn't happen. And it's like ignored. And the actual, can you acknowledge the fact that I'm irritated about this, never occurs. So then when the spouse is, or in my case, my boyfriend, when he's fussing at me about something, it's like, okay, but you know what? You didn't even focus on when I came to you and I said I'm frustrated. It was just ignored, and now you want me to focus on this. So how do you help a relationship that is like that, where it's like one person is, their feelings are just like kind of brushed off. They bring things up. They want it to be acknowledged and hopefully rectified. Nothing happens, but when the tables turn, it's like, no, I need you to deal with this now. And it's like, ugh.
Well, here, this is where it gets good, because we talk about being fair. Where's the standard? You know, is the standard your relationship? Is it your spouse? Is it your boyfriend, your girlfriend? Like, who's the standard? Because the same measurement you want, like you want, in this case, your boyfriend to be humble, to embrace it. But then if you don't do it, then he can say the very same thing. Like, you want me to be humble and you want me to listen. But when, look, I'm trying to point something out now and you're not. And it becomes like this vicious cycle. Dr. Emerson calls it the crazy cycle. It's like it never ends. And somebody has to decide to be humble. So my thing would be, you know what? Let that go. Let's say that toilet paper issue. Let it go. Humble out in this situation. And really, like, honestly pray to God to give you that humility to sincerely embrace it. You know, I'm not talking about this false humility, like, well, I'm going to do this and I'm going to be humble just so you can see, so I can show you. It's like, no, like literally, like, wow, I've fallen short here. I'm really sorry. I'm going to change. Then in the future, you have a different playing field, you know, and if your husband, your wife, you know, your spouse, they get defensive, then you have something to say. And you can say, you know what, honey, this is really hurtful. It's not even so much the issue about the toilet paper, is the issue that, you know, I've really been trying. I don't know if you noticed this, but I've been really trying to listen, to change. But now that I'm trying to point this back, you are still defensive. And I think a lot of times that gets through to someone. And if that doesn't, that's when you go out and you do what Matthew 18 says, is you show them their fault. If that doesn't work, you pull someone else in and you get their take. You get what we call discipling. You get some outside, you know, influence so that you can get help. So the other person might be able to say, listen, you know, dude, you're being a jerk right now. Listen to your wife, or vice versa. Wife, listen to your man. You know, this is the man God gave you. So we'll talk more about that. We got a few more things we want to share, really good insights in terms of how to fight fair. But again, we want to hear from you.
Absolutely.
So give us a call.
Our number is 855-454-5905. We want to know what's going on in your relationship. Are you able to fight fair? What's happening? Give us that call. 855-454-5905. Stay right there, because Marriage Beyond the Vows will return right after this.
To Marriage Beyond the Vows.
Call 855-454-5905 and get in on the conversation. We're praise. And a very good morning to you. Welcome back to today's program. We're talking about fighting fair. Are you fighting fair in your relationship? Are you able to just really fight fair? That's what we want to know. And what's going on? So give us a call, 855-454-5905. Marcos, I know there's probably a lot of people you've had to counsel, and the root of it was folks not fighting fair.
Well, you know what? I think sometimes we don't know. And then there are other times when we know and we do exactly what we know we shouldn't do. We press those buttons. We get to know one another. And no one knows that more than the person you live with all the time. Mm-hmm. And so this is what happens. It's you start bringing your baggage. Mm-hmm. Like you said earlier in the show, if for all those who are just tuning in, we're talking about here on Marriage Beyond the Vows, fighting fair or fighting unfairly. And we want to hear about that too. And we want to help you how to do that right. And so sometimes people don't realize it. Think I always like to assume the best and kind of educate people and say maybe they don't know. There are some things that we just picked up along the way. Perhaps we watched our parents fight. They fought unfairly and we imitate and we do exactly what they do. And so we use things against them. We might not say something, but we give people the wrong treatment. We take it to another level. And a lot of times it's the baggage that we have. Sometimes it's not even related to one another, but we do use one another as punching bags. And again, I'm not saying physically.
Right.
That's another topic, another issue, and you know that's serious as well. But I'm talking about emotionally. When you come in, you feel safe enough with your spouse. You know they love you. You love them. But you use this, you know, frustration against them. And so that's probably the biggest, I would say the biggest form of unfair fighting is using other things, bringing other things to the relationship. Rough day at work, you know, someone really humiliated you or you're stressed out and you come home and you take it out on your wife. I'd never forget one time my wife, actually more than once, she would say, you know, I feel like you are using me as a punching bag. Like, I come home and I get all your frustrations and they're directed to me. And something really small becomes big. Like, why did you do this? And it becomes this argument, this disagreement. And it really was just based on the fact that I had other things going on. It had nothing to do with her. Right. And under normal circumstances, what would happen is not a big issue. But in that situation or at different times,
huge.
I've used it. And so that's really unfair. Now, like I said earlier, using the past against someone, especially if you've already the person apologized, repented, you forgave them, and then you bring it up again.
Right.
Do you remember? And then another unfair way is when you have the past, but you never brought it up. I think Tiffany used the example, and you just used, I think, a random example of, like, let's say toilet tissue. But let's say that you had a situation where you never said anything. And all of a sudden, now there's a disagreement. You feel offended, and you bring that up.
Right.
And
they're shocked.
Poor guy's clueless.
Like, I didn't even know that was a problem.
You know, and in a dating relationship, it can be anything. It can be like, look, you were late last week. And they're like, oh, what? Like, I don't remember. 2 months ago, remember when I told you to do this and I asked you as a favor and you let me down? And you're like, what are you talking about? So again, we use Matthew 18. It's an amazing scripture that Jesus gave in terms of how to work out conflict. And the first thing that Jesus says is you go to that person privately. Another unfair thing you can do is talk to other people first and kind of build your case and then just say, well, I'm not the only one. Everyone feels this way. Everyone sees you're irresponsible. And you're like, what are you talking about? You know, just go to them directly. Now, if that doesn't work, you get someone else in there. So I want to go ahead and go straight to the phone lines. I know some of you are trying to call in. I believe we have...
Yeah, we'll get to them in just a few seconds because I see Larry's working real hard on getting those calls up and whatnot. But so say the unfighting fair. Say there's a there is a breach of trust in the midst of this. So, you know, if say one of the husband is... reacting negatively to something that the wife did, and there was a breach in trust. So now everything that comes up, even if it's something small, there's that seed of, I just don't even trust that what you're saying is true. So it this argument blossoms out of, you could be right, and I could be humble right now about it, but honestly, I don't even trust that what you're saying is true. Talk about how to tackle
that. Tiffany, that's when it's so important to be humble. Because in the scriptures, you see, God even used a donkey to help someone get the message and mm-hmm. not die. Mm-hmm. And so in as crazy as it can be, it's like, listen to the message, not the messenger. What your spouse might be saying might sound crazy to you, but there's some validity. At least embrace that. Now, take it with a grain of salt. If the person is manipulating you or throwing mm-hmm. it back, then don't focus just on that. But I think humility goes a long way. We'll talk more about humility. I believe we do want to go to the phone line.
All right. Again, our phone number is 855-454-5905. We're talking about fighting fair. What's going on in your relationship? Are you actually able to do it? So let's go to Ardina calling in on line one. Ardina, good morning. You're live on the air.
Good morning. How are you?
Good.
We're doing very
Thank
well.
Thank you for joining us.
Our producer, Larry, mentioned, or you mentioned to him, that you take a break from arguments and then you go back. So can you explain that a little? That sounds very interesting.
Sure, absolutely. We kind of learned that the hard way over the years. In the beginning of our relationship, we might have a disagreement and things might get heated and mm-hmm. one or the other of us, or maybe both of us, would get really upset to the point where we both recognized that it wasn't healthy, it was moving in the wrong direction, and we needed to curtail that at the moment. We needed to say, okay, this isn't healthy, you know, we're not getting anywhere, we need to stop and walk away, pray, take a break, regroup, and look at the situation from the outside instead of right in the middle of it when we're both heated. Mm-hmm. But what we used to do in the past is that we would... we'd never go back to it because we didn't want to get into an argument again. And what we found is that resentment would build up and things never really got addressed. And then later, you know, we would have blow-ups because of all this resentment.
That's so good.
So we kind of set a rule for ourselves that when we have to walk away from the middle of an argument, we had a time limit of 24 hours. Within 24 hours, we have to come back to the table in a calm way, pray together, and then try to revisit that issue, whatever it was, and resolve it so that it does get addressed and we feel like we are being heard and we're not just having an argument, blowing up, and then walking away and never dealing with it again. And that has proved really helpful over the years. It took us a while to learn it, but we're pretty good at it now.
That's great. That's great. Now, one of the things I want to mention is Ardina, right?
Yes,
Ardina. I used to actually had the opposite challenge where I felt like I needed to resolve things right then and there, like instead of letting them go, and we didn't get anywhere. And so we learned the hard way as well to take that break and go and pray and get resolved. And you realize that sometimes, most of the time, I would say, the argument, the issue is really stupid. There's a root, and that's what the real issue is. So you were really hurt or there was a misunderstanding. And so when you take that time to go away, well, one of the rules that my wife and I have is when you go away, it's not to build your case, but it's to really see what you can do differently and come back humble. And so one of the main things that we do is when the person comes back, one is going to apologize first. We could focus only on one thing at a time. So if I'm wrong and I apologize, that's not the opportunity for me to use that to then point out what my wife did wrong. It's for me to own what I did and then another time, a little bit later, we can, you know, we could finish that and then talk about whatever the other issue was. But in the past, we would go right back to another argument because we would try to use that as, I guess, a time to get some more ammunition.
Right.
And
right.
say, I really thought about what you said, and that was very hurtful. It's like, never works. Never works. So thank you. I think that's some great advice. I hope and pray that all those who are listening will embrace that and realize, I love it, the 24-hour rule. Okay, Ardina, thank you so much for your call today.
Thank you, and God bless you all.
God bless you, too. All right, we're going to go to line two, where Tanil is waiting patiently, and I think she's sharing. Tanil, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Pretty good. Good. So you are separated because unfair arguments.
Yes.
Wow. Tell us about that, please.
I had some infidelity. My husband was incarcerated for about 3 months, and I cheated. It was about 3 years ago. But every time we get in an argument, he brings it up. And it's like, I'm an adulteress, I'm this, I'm that. So it came to the point where I couldn't take it, the unfair fighting, that we're now separated.
Wow. So he was locked up,
mm-hmm.
and you were unfaithful. And then did you tell him about this?
Yes, I told him about it when he came home. I told him about it because I felt bad, and it's just like it will never let up.
And how long ago did this happen?
2 years ago.
Okay, 2 years ago. So this happened a couple years ago, and he would just never let it go. Where is he now? Like, what's his attitude now that you're separated? Is he trying to get back together? Does he not care? Where is he?
He wants to get back together, but I'm afraid that if we do, it's going to lead back to the same thing, because it's like, you know, he's never going to get over it. That's okay. What that came to my head, that, you okay. know, he's never going to get over it.
Well, let me, not trying to defend him. He's not on the phone. He's not here, so I don't know. I think, number one, he did something wrong, whatever, if he did. I'm just making assumptions. That's not the issue here. But he was locked up. He was away for 3 months. And the devil took that opportunity. He tempted you. You gave in. And then it sounds like you sincerely had a change of heart. You had regret. You repented because you came out in the open and you shared that.
Right.
I think the first problem was there was never a way to deal with that. And I can almost imagine, as a man, that is the most painful, I would say, betrayal you can ever experience. And especially if there was nothing he can do, he was locked up. That's
right.
Humiliating. I believe he just never learned to deal with it. But if he's trying to get back with you, I believe that he does love you, because who else would even want to get back with someone if they didn't, especially after the other person was unfaithful? He just doesn't. It sounds to me that he doesn't know how to deal and let this go and really forgive. And I talk about this all the time. There's a difference between forgiving and forgetting, and forgiving and you're going to remember, but it's true forgiveness. And so people think that you're supposed to forgive and forget. We use that term very loosely. We just can't do it, though. Like, your husband will never forget what you did, but he can truly forgive you, and you can become stronger because of it. And I think that could even help him to realize, I need to take care of my wife. I need to make sure that I'm always there. Vice versa, you got to make sure that you can protect your husband and always be there. But my encouragement to you, Tania, would be to get some guidance and some counsel before you try to move back into the relationship.
Mm-hmm.
I think your openness is great, where you're saying you are fearful and you are concerned that this will never go away, and that's very real. But it can. You can heal through this. Your husband can learn to really forgive you. And once he does, it's not an issue anymore. And he's going to have to make a conscious decision of saying, I'm not going to bring this up no matter what.
Because it made me feel bad, because I'm like, if I repented before God, you know, about this situation, it makes me feel bad when you're constantly up when I've already been forgiven.
Exactly. And then it's like, do you need to constantly be reminded? It sounds like you already are beating yourself up because of it. You already feel bad. And again, we don't have the time to get into that. We're making some assumptions there. Maybe you have it, and maybe he feels that way. I don't know. But that's why I think that counseling is so important, because you need someone to say, listen, dude, you got to let this go. If you're going to get back together, this can't be an issue anymore.
Right.
And so before you kind of recommit or you know, move back in or whatever it is, that has to be dealt with. If not, you're going to go right back to what you said. It would not go away. And so I don't know what city are you in?
Philadelphia.
Okay, you're in Philly. I would love to stay connected with you and maybe speak to you and your husband, if there's anything I can do. And it doesn't have to be me. I mean, if you have someone you trust, your minister or somebody close that you trust, they will give you some godly advice. But if not, I would love to see what I can do to help, because this is very serious. And if you're going to be able to really heal through this, you're going to need someone to be objective, not side with him, not side with you, just saying, listen, this is how it is. This ain't right, both of you. Because I'm sure you're doing things as well that are not helping.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just making these assumptions, but usually it takes two to get to that point.
Exactly.
And so who knows? Who knows what's going on there? So I would definitely love to offer that opportunity to you.
Great. I would appreciate your help.
All right. Well, let me just give you a number where you can reach me once I'm off the air. Don't give me a call right now. That would not work. What? 1 second.
Okay.
All right. You ready? 717-862-8697.
Okay. What was that first three digits?
717.
Oh, 717.
862-8697. No problem. And you could always go to praisephilly.com, or if you're in Charlotte, praisecharlotte.com, and send me a message directly through our website. Just look for me, Marcos Mercado. And for everyone else, we want to give you the number so you can call in. We want to hear from you. Tenille, thank you so much for calling in. I look forward to connecting with you some more.
All right. Thank you.
All right. You're take welcome. Care. Our number is 855-454-5905. We want you to give us a call. We are talking about fighting fair. Are you able to? What is going on in your relationship? So reach out to us. 855-454-5905.
You know, I'm just going to be a little vulnerable here. There are times where I didn't even realize this, but I did so much of what my father did. Mm. And even where I saw my mother do. I mean, sometimes I would see, like, wait, this I've seen this before. Like, why am I acting this way? And it's what I've learned. You know, we become kind of conditioned by our environment.
Right.
And I think my parents had a great relationship. I mean, there's a lot that I was able to imitate. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of things that were wrong, too. And my wife grew up with a single her mom, so you know, single mom's household, and she had other things that she brought to the table. And one of the things that my wife would really struggle with that I've had to learn throughout the years is that her mom would really press issues and not let them go.
Okay.
And so when anything that I would do, even to this day, anything I do that remotely seems that way, there's a part of my wife that like instinctively wants to rebel.
Gotcha.
And with me, I instinctively, I would want to kind of get upset and use that, like raise my voice or do something to be able to kind of gain control. And it sometimes it would be even real subtle. It would be how I change my tone. And again, I'm being vulnerable here. I'm not trying to make it sound like I'm always screaming and fighting or whatever. But, you know, this is in my sinful nature. Now, I deny myself most days. I'm doing well. But there are those times where I really have to be on point and say, wait a minute, why am I doing this? And one of the things I learned is because when all else fails, I remember this works. Now, I'm not telling myself this consciously, but subconsciously, I'm like, well, if I raise my voice, I will get my point across and she'll get it. But it really doesn't work. It might work for that moment. You win the fight, let's say, but you lose
the
war. You lose everything. I mean, your marriage can fall apart. And I've seen that. From what I said, I've seen people who feel like they want to win the argument so desperately that they lose their spouse. Now they're not close. Now they're hurt.
Yeah.
They don't even want to be around. You know, we kind of have this couch. We have people sit in. It's a big couch. It's deliberately designed that way. And we see how a lot of times people, they're not doing well. They come in, they want to get together, and they're sitting on opposite ends. But we make them sit on that couch, and you can tell there's a lot going on. There's a lot of tension there. And, you know, I want to be able to, you know, say, well, we can cut this right now with a butter knife even. That's how thick it is. But we have to help people. Okay, look, this is what you've put into the relationship.
Right.
You've caused this. So again, Tiffany, I know there are a lot of good notes you're taking.
I am.
Every marriage goes through that. I think if you're not honest, if you're dishonest, you try to make it seem like old things, you know, things are always great. But you will have your issues. And, you know, I love to know that God expects us to be one, but that's a process. And without God, we'll never become one.
Yeah. And I see that. And I can honestly say, you know, being a single person, I never, ever thought that marriage meant everything is perfection. I never fed into that particular part of the fairy tale. But it's interesting just to hear the types of things that come up and, you know, really what to look for. So it's pressing me to be very clear and honest about what are my non-negotiables, because if you don't have that carved out, I've learned, you end up in a situation where you do have this problem that on the surface might not seem like it's a big problem, but if you know, if you kind of said, all right, I'll just take this person because they have some of what I need, but this right here, that's really important. They don't have that, but I don't feel like being by myself, so I'll let that slide.
Compromise.
And then you end up in a situation where you're like, wow, this is a situation that needs two people on one accord on this thing here. And if you don't have it, it becomes this mess.
And you know what I appreciate, though? For me, it was a little bit the opposite. I felt like, I know that relationships won't be perfect, but we both love God. We're Christians. We should have something different. And one of the things I'm grateful for is the guidance of Dr. Harley, who wrote the book, His Needs, Her Needs. And one of the things he talks about a lot is he talks about the stages of a relationship. And the first one is that bliss, kind of that honeymoon stage.
Yeah, yeah.
And then you have the conflict stage. And then, of course, you have that withdrawal stage, which no one wants to be a part of because when you're there, then it's over pretty much. Mm. But that conflict, sometimes you think that's bad, but that's very normal. Mm. It's how you deal with the conflict and how long you remain in that conflict stage. A healthy relationship will go into the conflict stage, just won't stay there very long.
Mm-hmm.
An unhealthy relationship, you like live in that conflict zone.
Right.
It's like that's describing my marriage. I'm in conflict all the time. And that's not fun. No one wants that. And then it gets to that withdrawal stage. Let's go back to the phone lines, I believe.
So again, if you're just tuning in, you're listening to Marriage Beyond the Vows on Praise Your Inspiration Station. The number to reach us, we want to hear from you about what's going on in your relationship. Are you fighting fair or not? 855-454-5905. Let's speak with Keija, who is calling in on line one. Keija, good morning. You're live on the air.
Hi, my name is Keija, and I'm calling because I have been in a relationship with my husband for like 20 years, and we never had infidelity, never had any problems, but about a year ago, my husband started, he had like Facebook, and he started talking to different women on Facebook, and there were some inappropriate things that was being exchanged between him and a lot of women. It wasn't just one, it was a couple women. And different things like that, and we had, you know, separated a couple weeks here and there, and then at that point, I decided, you know, this a year had passed, I decided to divorce him, and in the meantime, in the middle of that divorce process, while I'm still going through the divorce process, he came back to my home, and I was on the phone with another a male, and now no nothing going on with me and this guy, we're just friends. And he took my phone away and basically, you know, threatened to kill me. He stabbed me. He told me, you know, he basically told me that I was going to die. And he took and posted on Facebook. Man, I'm a preacher besides me being, you know, in the marriage and faithful to him. He put on Facebook on a wall that I was unfaithful. He put my name. He put the guy's name. And totally, like, you know, disrespect. But I was just, my question to you was, with him talking to these different women, I mean, even sexual things being brought up in the conversation, is that a form of being, of cheating or being unfaithful?
You know what, that's interesting. And I think that it depends if you one of the things that I've learned, and I'm not an expert, I'm not an attorney when it comes to this area, but there are some things that you can do that can be used against you in court. I think the internet is one of those things that it's hard to prove that it was him, because he can easily claim that his account was hacked. I mean, whatever, like it's hard to prove that it was him. He could have just said, he can throw it right back at you and say you got into his account. And you know, I'm not saying it's impossible to prove, but that's what I've heard from where I sit, where some couples have tried to prove, they try to prove infidelity with something online. But it's kind of hard, because how do you really show that that person was the person doing this? However, sin will always find you out. And I think there's something else there besides the infidelity. I mean, it sounds like, I mean, he's threatened you to kill you. I mean, there's a lot there. I mean, number one, I think you've done the right thing by making sure you're out of that situation. I guess the part that gets me, though, is I know you're saying that you had this conversation with this guy who's just a friend. But why were you talking to this guy? I mean, especially in your situation right now, describe this friendship. I mean, you're going through a divorce. You've had an unfaithful husband and you're talking to this guy. Like, what's going on there? That just sounds to me like the very, very unwise decision on your part to try to draw close to some guy during such a vulnerable stage in your life.
Well, in all reality, the guy himself had contacted me and asked me for prayer because he was going through something in his relationship, and he, like I said, I'm a preacher, so he asked me for prayer, and that's how we end up getting hooked up and talking. It was somebody, though, I did know from a long time ago in my past, and, you know, but at the same time, my husband, you know, I'm not with him or anything. We were separated during the time and everything, and, you know, we were just friends talking, so it's nothing beyond that.
Mm-hmm.
It's nothing else going on or anything like that. Because I know who I am in Christ, and I would never overstep those boundaries. And me, myself, just with my husband, he's the only guy that I ever even been with, period, in my life. I've never had another partner before.
Okay.
So, I mean, that's something that I kept with him for 20 years because I don't believe in breaking the heart. I don't believe in destroying the heart because if you don't want somebody, then you need to walk away. You need to leave them.
Okay. Well, let me share something with you. And I think, Keija, that you're in a vulnerable stage. And I appreciate your frankness, your openness, even with saying that your husband has been the only man you've been with. And I believe your heart might be in the right place where you're trying to help others. I don't know about the other person's heart. Again, I don't know. I can't make judgment on it because I don't know. It just sounds very dangerous. It sounds like there's a recipe for disaster with your situation. And the devil is good at what he does. And he loves to trap us. So when you say, I'll never do this, I've heard those words many times. And people have a lot of regret. And I never thought I would. Well, I've said I never would do this. And that's exactly what they've done. And so I want to read the scripture to you in Ephesians 5. It says in verse 12, for it is shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret. But everything exposed by the light becomes visible. For it is light that makes everything visible. That's why it is said, wake up, O sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. And then it gives more warnings there. And I think we got to understand this is a spiritual battle. And we know from John 10:10 that the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He's already like stolen and is destroying, and he's going for the kill. He's going to try to get everything out of the way. And I think it starts with your marriage, but then your own purity. You're saying you're preaching. The devil is going to be attacking you more than the average person. So I just want to encourage you, make sure you're on guard. I understand you wanted to pray with this guy, but that gave ammunition for your husband to get to this point. I'm not saying don't talk to any brothers or any guys that need help, but just be really wise, especially if you're going through this and some other guy is trying to talk to you about what he's going through in his relationship. It sounds like he might need some other brothers in his life at this point. And I would direct them to them. Like, man, you know who would be really good to help you? Talk to brother so-and-so. He went through a hard time. He could probably help you. I'll keep you in prayer, but I'm not the person to be in your life at this point when it comes to this. Does that make sense?
Yes.
All right. And you know, I'm sorry to hear what's going on. I tell you this much. I'm sure you know this. God is powerful and anything can change.
All right. We want to say thank you to Keija. Thank you so much for calling in. We do appreciate your phone call, and I hope what Marco said to you was helpful. Again, we are talking about fighting fair. We want to know if you are fighting fair in your relationship. What issues are you having with that? So give us a call, 855-454-5905.
I just got to say, I hear... It sounds like her heart is, you know, she's trying to be in the right place. Mm-hmm. I mean, her husband putting all this stuff on Facebook, I know she's hurt. Mm-hmm. But let me say this. I can't stress this enough. The devil is a dog. He's working. Mm-hmm. And it's not just, usually infidelity doesn't just end at that stage.
Yeah.
I mean, the devil knows she's hurt. She's vulnerable. Mm-hmm. You have another guy talking to her. Mm-hmm. And so if you're out there, you're listening and you're in a similar situation, listen, run from it. You know, in the scriptures, you see in the book of Genesis, Genesis 39 has a great example of a man, young man named mm-hmm. Joseph, who was righteous, who mm-hmm. loved God, mm-hmm. but he ran. He jetted, man. He was like, look, I am not going to put myself in a vulnerable situation because we know the scripture tells us the spirit is willing, but mm-hmm. the flesh is weak. And a lot of times from where I sit, people are saying, I can't believe I did this. What mm-hmm. was I thinking? I wasn't thinking. I didn't know. It's like the devil is real. He's mm-hmm. working. And the most vulnerable time is when you're hurt, when you feel like the other person was unfaithful. So you could almost even feel justified yourself mm-hmm. to say, hey, I can go and do this because it was done against me. Mm-hmm. Maybe now he'll know how it feels. Maybe now she'll get a taste of her own medicine. And that's not from God. Mm-hmm. That is directly from the devil himself. So please, please be mindful of those things. Be on guard. I know deep inside all of us, we want to do the right thing. I know if you're listening right now, you're struggling, mm-hmm. you're wondering. And if you have questions about this, we want you to give us a call.
Absolutely. The number is 855-454-5905. Larry is taking the phone calls. He's going to get you in the queue when it's time. So just keep that in mind. Also, if you're unable to call, you can always post your comment or your question on our Facebook page. Just look for Marriage Beyond the Vows on Facebook. Facebook.com. Make sure you hit the like button first.
And you could also decide to not give your name. You can call and be an anonymous caller, like our very next caller who decided to do that.
All right. This person has a question calling in on line one. Caller, good morning. You're live on the air.
Yeah, good morning. I have a question and also a comment. I listened to Micah's telling the lady when people say, I can do that, I know who I am. I had a similar situation with my husband. He wanted to go to see his baby mother, and I told him he won't go until I go because this was the first time. And he made that same statement. He said, I know what I'm doing. I know who I am. Just to go there and something, I don't know what happened, but he got this girl pregnant.
Well, you know what happened.
Yeah. Did he say anything? And then, like, five months later, it came back to me because it's another stick. And he didn't tell me, but somebody went out and heard it. When I confronted him, he admitted, you know that the girl was pregnant. But he made the same statement. So when we got in this argument, I told him and I brought it to his memory. I said, you know you can do it, but people fall in temptation. Things happen. You don't know. Even me, I'm capable of doing things that I would sit back one day and say, how did this happen? But that's why sometimes you got to try to get yourself out of that situation before
Absolutely.
It even happened.
Absolutely.
So and sometimes, you know, a lot of men overlook their wives. I might be the one that God is going through to speak to you.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
He
and let me just say something.
Exactly who you are. So
let me interject
you,
1 second. All right, 1 second, yeah. Because I really want to, we're about to take a break, and I just want to make sure we say this. My wife and I have this saying, we trust each other. We just don't trust Satan himself. And because of that, we never, ever allow ourselves to be in situations. You would not see me alone with a woman. I don't care if we think she's attractive, not attractive. Even the temptation, no one can say, Marcos did this, because we won't allow that. And so in your situation, going back over here, I'm just going here, nothing's going to happen. I want to read this passage, and then we're going to have to take a quick break. But it's from 1 Corinthians 10, and this is what Paul, inspired by the Holy Spirit, says. If you think you're standing firm, be careful that you don't fall. No temptation has seized you except what is common to man, and God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. And so you got to be careful. And I think you did the right thing by warning him. He just didn't take your warning. I wish he would have. And so hopefully that's a lesson learned. Are you still together?
Yes, I love him, and I'm also, want to be the wife of a virtuous woman. I try to stick into it. But the thing is, and you spoke to somebody earlier about raising your voice, and sometimes people think they get away from discussing certain things loud. And that's, and that's where we at right now. It's like, I want to talk about it so we can resolve it, but he doesn't want to. I don't know what his reasons are, but there's a kid is coming, he's going to be in our lives, and there are still issues that we have to deal with now before we even get to that point.
It sounds like you need a lot of help. Well, I want to encourage you, remain on the line. I want to talk to you a little bit more. Everyone else, we want you to call in.
All right, and that number is 855-454-5905. That's how you can reach us, 855-454-5905. We are going to take a brief pause, but we want you to get on the line so you can have the conversation with Marcos about whether or not you guys are fighting fair. We're going to come back. We're also going to find out what you're saying on the second favorite book of ours, Facebook. So stay with us. Marriage Beyond the Vows continues after this.